Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning again, everyone. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here with us on our Monday edition of The Opening Bell. Some well-known candy and snack brands are being rebooted by Oakbrook Terrace-based Ferrara Candy Company. Among them, the Butterfinger candy bar. To talk more about some of the reporting she's done on this story, Alexia Elizalde Ruiz is with us, the food industry reporter at the Chicago Tribune. Alexia, good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
I love the lead in your story, by the way, on this. After years of declining sales, it was time to lay a finger on Butterfinger. Love that.
Thank you. I was actually really, really proud of it, so I appreciate that you noticed.
Yeah. So what's going on? I think, would people who love their Butterfingers may be a little concerned about a different recipe. I know the package is a new look, but what's happening with it?
Yeah, so after Ferrero Group, which is an Italian company, purchased Nestle's U.S. confectionery business last year, which included the likes of Butterfinger and Baby Ruth and Nerds, they merged it with Ferrara Candy, which is a local company. They decided to kind of, address sales issues with some of their brands, including Butterfinger. So Butterfinger had seen like sales declines in the double digits previously, and so they rebooted the recipe, which you're right has some people concerned. And what they did was they removed a preservative called TBHQ, which is a controversial one, but that's not what has people concerned. They changed the chocolatey coating formula to be kind of it's a different refinement process. They added more cocoa and more milk. And then they changed the kind of that orange interior that is the, calling card of the Butterfinger. They changed the formula for that as well. And so they kind of just rebooted the recipe to kind of reflect, to make it kind of less tacky, kind of sticky, mm-hmm. And a bit crispier, and also give the chocolate a better mouthfeel. And then, as you said, they changed the packaging and did more marketing.
Yeah, because that always reminds me of, whenever I've eaten a Butterfinger in the past, it was the, stick to your teeth, you have to kind of pick it off kind of situation. What are people who are Butterfinger aficionados most upset about, though?
Well, the people who have, taken to Twitter to complain about it are just saying that it's gross, right? Like, it just doesn't taste like it used to, and so they just don't like it. There hasn't been a lot of descriptors beyond that. I think these are candies that people grew up with, so they're very used to how they taste, and when they taste different, people don't like it anymore. So that, stickiness, stick to your teeth thing, even though, I personally am not a big fan of that, other people who are accustomed to it, will miss it. And so people just think it tastes kind of funky, you should Google, bring back Butterfinger, not Google it, sorry, search for it on Twitter, search for that social, for that handle,
for that hashtag,
there's some pretty funny descriptions about it.
Yeah, I've seen some of the comments, and there are lots of different comments, but you're right, there's a hashtag and a movement developing. We've kind of seen this story before, haven't we, Alexia, where a company changes the recipe for something and people lose their minds. And sometimes they're forced to go back. What is the early success or not here for Ferrara and Butterfinger?
Yeah, so far so good as far as sales go. They are up significantly since they introduced the recipe. So they are declaring this as a success. And they said, you can always expect some people to be upset about it, but that as a whole, it has been a good thing for the brand.
Yeah, when you have double-digit sales losses on something, you kind of have to do something. How has this impacted the local plant here? Do they make it in Franklin Park, right?
Yeah, exactly. So Nestle made it in Franklin Park in their factory there, and when Ferrara took over that plant, they obviously continue to make it there. I visited the plant, and everyone I spoke with says, even though Well, I didn't visit that plant. Excuse me. I visited the plant in Itasca where they make Nerds and Gobstoppers and things like that. And there, and what I presume is the same case in Franklin Park, is they say things haven't changed much, you know, besides some of these formulation and packaging things. Like, it's still the same people, it's still the same culture, you know, it's still the same, you know, factory and processes. It's just kind of different owners, but everyone seems to be, say things are pretty stable.
When you look at the website and you see all of the different brands that are there at Ferrara, there's some real legacy brands. I mean, in addition to Butterfinger, you've got Baby Ruth, Raisinets, Crunch, the 100 Grand, Chunky, O. Henry, all of these legacy brands. And as you point out in your story, people sometimes, or most of the time, eat candy because of sort of a nostalgia aspect. So from that angle, Ferrara is kind of playing with fire, aren't they?
You could say that they're playing with fire, or you could say that they're reminding people what they love. So yes, you're absolutely right that nostalgia is probably one of the key reasons people buy candy, and they always say their favorite candy is the one that they grew up with. So absolutely, when you mess with a recipe, you are risking alienating some people. But as one analyst I spoke with said, you know, some people might have forgotten about, you know, their candy, and then they see it pop in the candy aisle because so many purchases are impulse buys that, you know, if you suddenly it catches your attention, you're like, oh, yeah, I love Nerds, you know, and then you pick it up even though you haven't had it in decades.
Yeah, and I guess the other side of this coin is we've seen a lot of different brands go away, just completely go away because they failed and nobody's been there to scoop them up. So that's the other part of the story, isn't it? The potential of losing some of these nostalgia brands.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine a world without Crunch or Butterfinger or Baby Ruth. But certainly, you know, if you lack of investment can lead to, you know, enough of a sales decline that they do go away. So it looks like, you know, this is not going to happen with these brands at this point.
Yeah, and let's talk a little bit about what else is happening with Ferrara and the Ferrero Group. They've recently purchased Kellogg's Cookies, and I was surprised. I didn't realize that they had the Keebler brands as well inside of their cadre of brands.
Yeah, so Ferrero Group, which, again, not to be confused with Ferrara Candy, which is local, has been on this buying spree the last few years. So they make Nutella. That's kind of what they're very famous for. But in the last few years, they purchased Ferrara Candy. They purchased Fannie Mae. They purchased the Nestle's U.S. confectionery business. And just this year, they purchased several of Kellogg's businesses, including its cookies, like Keebler and famous Amos. And so Ferrero Group is just trying to muscle into the U.S. market through these acquisitions. And it has worked. They are now the second largest candy company in the world. So they leapfrogged over Mondelez, which makes Oreos and Cadbury, a couple years ago. And so they're saying that now, so the Kellogg acquisition of, you know, Keebler and some Pie Crust and other things like that should close this week, I think, and they plan to apply their same approach to revamping kind of languishing brands to those acquisitions as well. So we'll see what happens, if anything, to the products. It could also be just a marketing tweak.
We're very fortunate in the Chicago area to have this wonderful competition going on between these companies, candy companies. You mentioned Mondelez, but of course Mars Wrigley Confectionery is still here. And they're the leader, according to your story. Is that who perhaps Ferrero Group has in their sights?
It may be. They're very far away from it. So Mars Wrigley has like $18 billion in global sales, and Ferrero Group is at about 12.4. So they're by far the leader, but, you know, who knows? it could happen. Ferrero Group was very small, you know, just a few, not very small, but, you know, was not in the top five just a few years ago. So they haven't explicitly stated that they're trying to be number one. You know, that's not their goal. They're just trying to make acquisitions that make sense in the moment. But, yeah, it definitely looks like they're trying to be a dominant player.
And are they planning to keep all of the, legacy brand names? Will they maintain the Nestle logo? Will they maintain some of these other brand names? Or do you foresee other changes coming from a naming and branding standpoint?
Well, I think the Nestle logo, as I understand, will go away and be replaced by the Ferrara logo, but the names of the the names of the brands, Crunch, Butterfinger, Raisinets, etc., that won't change. That would be terribly confusing to customers and be very counterproductive to their goal, I'm sure. So it's officially, now these are Ferrara brands, so they're going to be Ferrara branded, but they will keep the names that people know.
All right, very good. Well, Alexia, we appreciate you being on with us this morning and sharing your reporting with us. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Alexia Elejalde Ruiz, a food industry reporter at the Chicago Tribune. We're going to link out to her story on this and keep you posted on how things in the candy world are shaking out.